of day. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Thank you for singing.
Good morning. So I'm in charge of prayer request, and I don't want to be rude, but I'm not going to take any, but God knows. I'm just not very good at remembering things, so let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we do come before you this morning, just thank you for bringing everyone into this house of worship, and I also just want to pray for James Romano as he has come here to talk to us, and he's just doing the work of what so many other people are scared to do, and just thank you for blessing him, and just thank you for all the prayer requests that are in people's hearts, and I pray that as through these next couple days that you can just show them that you are there no matter what, and we pray that the rest of the service will go all right. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're going to have James Romano come up and share quickly with us about his ministry that he's doing in Italy and just kind of tease what he's going to talk about more during our Sunday school time.
Okay. What a blessing to be here. And I understand the youth. I've been through it, you know, getting emotional. And I must admit, even though I'm used to being on a stage like every night with a tent and thousands of people, I'm getting kind of the shivers even now, so getting emotional too. So it never ends. It's always so. Just I want to encourage you. It's nice. It's a blessing being here, and my family greets all of you, Heidi and the kids, and they would love to be here, but now there's school and they have had COVID, and this as soon as I left to come here to the States. But they're doing well. They've got the recovery card, so finally they can move around, because in Italy, you know, restrictions were pretty strict. And without we call it a green pass there in Italy, the only places that we could go was a grocery store and a pharmacy. Then everything else, gyms, theaters, restaurants, cafeterias, et cetera, access was denied if you didn't have a vaccine card or recovery card. So Heidi's pretty happy now she has a recovery card and she can move. But, you know, it's been good because we've been saving money for this past year. So just, you can eat only so much, you know. So, and but yes, like I said, greetings from my family. We are very blessed to have you as a church. We feel your prayers. We feel the support. And we are very thankful for this family that we have here in South Dakota. And the reason why I'm here is jury duty. So I was called, and I was kind of like, oh, man, do I have to go? And I came because on the letter it said, you know, you will get a $500 ticket if you don't come and other penalties. And so the thing looked kind of serious, and I came. So I'm done, and I did that. That's over. It's finished. I'd never served, so that was good. And I'm not going to be called within 4 years from now. So that went well. But I believe the reason why I'm here, it's not that. The jury duty, that was an excuse to come. And I think God has me here for a reason in the States. And I'll give you guys updates on that at 11 o'clock on Sunday school. But just to say that 2 months ago now, the mission, you know, the older elders have passed on to the newer generation. So they prayed over a group of us. We were just five. So I'm one of the five. As like the new pastors and elders of the mission, so the responsibles in charge of the mission quest is the answer. So I believe that I'm here even to raise funds for this new home base that we are building in Florence. And of course, my thought was not through the churches, but through those people that I was connected to throughout the years. And of course, you've know and read the emails, like Michael W. Smith. I was able to stay again with him. And others that he knows in Tennessee, so I've been there, already been there in Nashville, and so met with many good Christians, many good people, and I believe God touches the hearts. You know, He uses us as instruments, and so keep this in prayer, because the mission needs $2 million. So that's nothing impossible for God, but you know, it's a good amount of money, and this is what's needed now in this time to build this home base, the homes for the mission. And I've been around the whole, practically driving around the whole state of Tennessee, looking for people, you know, because this friend of mine, he was like, oh, so this guy over there, go, take the car. And I take the car and just drive 40 minutes an hour, and then another place, and like I was manhunting. And but then I stop, you know, I stay still, and I say, you know, you're God, it's your mission, you'll take care of it, and I just want to be used and want to spread the word, you know. And so... thank you for having me over, for giving me this opportunity to speak. And we love you all. Again, a big hug, and see you later at Sunday school. God bless you.
Thank you, James, for sharing with us and being here with us today. I know that part of you're in a more active part of ministry than what we normally see around here with your camps and different things that you put on. I do enjoy reading and seeing the updates that you put on through the emails and Facebook and things. Anyways, we're glad that you're with us today and we're able to share just a little bit. Things are a little bit different this morning. I see we're way a little bit ahead of schedule, but that is okay. It'll give us some time to visit later. Or gives Noah a little bit more time to talk. I invite you to stand and worship with us this morning.
Strong in the same. Times I've failed, your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, 'cause I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all. Beyond.
needed for this last song. I got to get my voice back and a little bit of feeling back in my fingers. This last one should be a little bit more familiar to us, I hope. The other ones are sometimes not as familiar, but they are songs that we do with the youth fairly often, and they were the ones that chose these songs for today.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Jessen, and I'm one of the seniors in the youth group. And I'm singing a special this morning, and it's called Who You Say I Am. And I always have just liked this song because it's kind of a reminder that, you know, the world may see us as something else, but all that matters is what God sees us as, and he sees our hearts and our souls, and that's what matters. It's not what people see on the outside. And so I hope that song does that for you too.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Before I get started, would you pray with me? Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together today, Lord, and just please open our hearts and open our minds and just pray that this is a sermon led by your word, God, nothing else. And we just pray that it would all resonate with us, Lord, and that we could all learn something about ourselves and about you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So after many years of watching other people do this, it's my turn. That really snuck up on me. So this last week, Derek and I have been trying to find something to talk about. So I started with thinking about things I knew a lot about, things that I could tell other people about. And that really didn't end well. I couldn't quite pinpoint anything that I knew enough about. So we're going to talk about something I know nothing about. I thought that would be even better. So today we're going to be talking about pottery. I have less than 2 hours of pottery experience, so that's going to be great. We're going to start by reading Isaiah 64:8. It says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." So we're going to be looking at how our relationship with God is much like our relationship between a potter and his clay. So in the beginning, we all start out like a ball of clay. With this clay, the possibilities are endless. Ooh. We can become anything. We all start out like this ball of clay. God the potter, he'll take this ball of clay and put it on his wheel. And he'll pull the pot, he'll spin it, and eventually he decides it's perfect. And that's us. We're pliable, and God can make us into anything he chooses. And eventually the pot's finished. It's perfect. God decides that it's done. The next stage is where things go wrong. For the pot, it's called the drying process. For us, it's called life. Pots take their own path during the drying stage. They can dry too fast. They can crack. They can break. They can get air bubbles. They can fall off the rack and shatter. The stage is very similar to our lives. We can go our own way. God gives us that option. We can spiritually dry up. Sickness, trials, and death are our cracks. Anything can happen. We can push ourselves too hard, and eventually, we can break. Now, the important thing to know is that when these pots break, it's not the end. These dried up pieces, with a little bit of water, can again become soft, pliable clay. So no matter how broken we are, there's always a way to come back to God. A brittle pot is weak, and it leads to cracks. It's pretty easy to break. And it's much like how a faith without a solid foundation can cause us to stray from God. And eventually, the potter takes an unbroken pot to the kiln. Now, this process in the kiln is a lot like our sanctification with Christ. We have the opportunity to grow in God and become stronger. So now I'll be reading Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. It says, "Therefore, everyone who reads these words of mine and puts them into practice is a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. An unfired pot is weak, like the house built on sand. The trials of life brought this house crashing to the ground. It cracked, it broke. We all go through trials in our life, and we all fall short of God's expectations, but it is not the end for us. Sanctification in Christ strengthens our foundation and our purpose. The more we talk to God and work on our relationship with Him, the more we rely on Him and put Him first. Once a pot is fired in a kiln, it becomes that potter's pot, much like how when we give our life to Christ, we become His. We become fully defined by Him and what He stands for. We become an image bearer of Christ and His handiwork. And eventually, you end up with something that looks a little bit like this. I did not make this. That's impossible for me. But these pots are much tougher once they've been fired. These aren't going to break. I tried. Can't do it. But this time, if these pots do break, their pieces hold their shape. Our original form is intact. We're still who we are. We still have our identity in Christ. And this time, the rebuilding process is different. Whenever mishaps happen, God just needs to put the pieces back together. This process is much faster than trying to fix something that looks like this. We still have our identity in Christ. We just need a little help with it. As we walk through our lives, we're like this soft, pliable clay. Along the way, things happen in our lives, and things can go wrong. It happens to everybody. That's the whole point of life. And then along comes our sanctification in Christ, and we can become much stronger. I'm going to end with 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." Some clay on that.
So when he said, thinking about this the past week, he wasn't kidding. Just last Friday, he came over to our house, and we were sitting in the basement. He didn't know what he was going to talk about. So I'm very proud of him and what he pieced together in just a week. Regardless of how much I was worried about what he would say, I think he did a great job. So thanks, Noah, for sharing with us. And no matter where we are in life, God reminds us that if we just turn back to him, he is willing and ready to transform us back into his design for our lives, whatever that process might entail. So I'm going to continue this illustration of a potter, or God as a potter, in Isaiah chapter 45. So if you want to turn there with me, that's all I'm going to be reading. So Isaiah chapter 45, I'm going to read verses 9 through 13. So Isaiah chapter 45, verses 9 through 13. It says, "Woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, 'What are you making?' Or 'Your work has no handles?' Woe to him who says to a father, 'What are you begetting?' Or to a woman, 'With what are you in labor?' Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and the one who formed him. Ask me of things to come. Will you command me concerning my children and the work of my hands? I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens, and I commanded all their hosts. I have stirred him up in righteousness, and I will make all his ways level. He shall build my city and set my exiles free, not for price or reward, says the Lord of hosts. So I'm going to work through this passage a bit backwards here and there, so bear with me, follow along as I go. It'd be nice, certainly, to have it open as I go. So the first part of verse 13 says, I have stirred him up in righteousness, and I will make all his ways level. He will build my city and set my exiles free. So here God is telling us that Cyrus is coming to rebuild Jerusalem and to deliver the Israelites from the punishment that has been brought to them as a result of generations of sin. God gives the Israelites a promise of deliverance from their punishments. While this isn't a prophecy of Jesus specifically, we see a great picture of God's mercy and grace in the way that this prophecy of Cyrus parallels the story of Jesus. In the same way that God sent Cyrus to save Jerusalem, God sent Jesus to save us from sin. And both following a prophecy that confirmed that that is what is coming. God demonstrates time and time again that his plan for the redemption of his people, from Genesis to Isaiah to Revelation, God plans and promises mercy for his people. But despite God's continued promises and his fulfillment of these promises, we still have problems. We like to doubt, to confront, and to ignore God and his promises. Verses 9 through 11 say, woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles. Woe to him who says to the Father, what are you beginning? Or to a woman, with what are you in labor? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and the one who formed him. Ask me of things to come. Will you command me concerning my children and the work of my hands? Who are we to question the work of God? Who are we to go our own way? Who are we to try and make it on our own? But yet we're prideful. We think we know better. We think we're harder, better, faster, stronger, to quote Daft Punk. Humans as a whole, from the time of Adam and Eve to now, both overestimate ourselves and underestimate God. Even if we know we probably can't do it, we try anyway. How many times have you heard in your life it can't hurt to try? But when we do, what are we saying to God? What are we thinking about God and his place in our lives? Verse 12 reminds us, I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens as I commanded all their hosts. If we put this into perspective, God created the earth and everything on it in 6 days. If we think about this in scale of things that we might build in our lifetime, the average home is about 24,000 cubic feet. And it takes a human or a group of humans an average of about 7 months to build a house. The earth, on the other hand, is 3.8 times 10 to the 22nd power cubic feet. The earth is 1.6 quintillion times larger than a house. That's 1.6 followed by 18 zeros, if quintillion isn't familiar to you. And God built the earth 1.6 quintillion times larger than a house in just 6 days. The point of the math isn't to demonstrate my ability to do arithmetic on a calculator or my ability to count zeros, but it's to demonstrate how incomprehensibly miraculous God's creation is. But here we are, and we are still questioning God. And in this verse, we see that God didn't just create the earth in those 6 days, but he stretched out the heavens and commanded their host. God created and organized perfectly our relatively infinite universe in just 6 days. But what does all this have to do with our pride? Well, God here is telling us that where he created more than we can know in 6 days, we struggle to make even the simplest of things work on our own, demonstrating just how pointless it is for us to question his plan. it's just silly for us to think that we could begin to understand what he is doing in our own lives, let alone the lives of the people around us. He reminds us that we fail, that we all fall short of his glory. Every single one of our pots would be ugly, cracked, or broken if it were up to us, and at the end of the day, God rejects anything that's not perfect. But in this passage, God gives us hope. Here in Isaiah, God promises Cyrus to deliver the Israelites and rebuild Jerusalem. For us, we have promises from Genesis 3 through Revelation that there will be a Savior for all mankind. And that day came when Jesus was born fully man and fully God. That day was solidified and confirmed when Jesus died on the cross for the sin of mankind. And that even though he was perfect, sinless, and deserved no punishment of his own, he chose to die for us so that we could be redeemed. And he overcame the power of death and ascended to heaven to be with his Father. Verse 13 as a whole reads, I have stirred him up in righteousness, and I will make all his ways level. He shall build my city and set my exiles free, not for a price or reward, says the Lord of hosts. Not for a price or reward. God foreshadows Jesus' payment for us through Cyrus once again as he demonstrates his grace even more. God loves his people so much that he delivers them out of their troubles, but to top it off, he asks for nothing in return. In the same way, the gift of salvation that we receive from Jesus' death and resurrection requires no payment, no reparations. In what way could we expect to help the potter as the clay, but to simply allow him to work in our lives and lovingly direct us where to go? I recently read through a book called Gentle and Lowly by Ortland. I would highly recommend the book to anyone, but in the book, he introduces an illustration that I'm going to steal and use this morning. Imagine an uncle gives his nephew a $100 bill as a gift. Now imagine the first reaction of the nephew was trying to come up with ideas to raise money and repay his uncle in small payments. Imagine how you would feel if you generously gave someone a gift and their response was to figure out how to repay you. You would likely think they missed the point. And that's what God thinks when we accept his gift of salvation and immediately turn to think about what we can do to earn it ourselves. God's gift in no way requires repayment. It in no way requires us to meet any requirements, to jump through hoops, or to earn our keep. Ortland expands this illustration by adding that all the while the nephew continues to try and find a way to repay his uncle, he's unaware of the abundant wealth of his uncle. And that $100 bill was a minuscule at most contribution in the eyes of the uncle. This is the same thing that God does here in verses 12 and 13. God tells us that there's no point trying to pay back his $100 gift because he has infinitely more in his bank account. There is no point trying to earn his love because he will never run out, because his love is never ending. There is no point for us to try and earn our way into God's kingdom because God has done and is capable of doing infinitely more than we can ever imagine. We watched in Sunday school with the youth group or with the teens a couple weeks ago a video by Bob Goff where he shared a quote. I'm not sure if it originated with him or someone else, but he says, God doesn't need our help. He wants our heart. If God wanted to, he could think into action any change he wanted in the world. Our largest contribution doesn't make a dent in the possibilities of God's work. But that's not the extent of God's design. If God wanted to, he could snap his fingers and we'd all be in heaven this instant. But what he wants is our heart. He wants us to not only have the ability to choose to have a relationship with him, but he wants us to realize who he is and how incredible our need is for him. For us to be in awe of his power and strength and his love for us. He wants us to soften our hearts and allow him to guide, to mold, and to shape us so that we can look to him and continue to be used for his intended purpose in the kingdom and the world around us. As we leave here today, let's reflect on our lives. Let's reflect on our hearts. Are we dried up, cracked, or broken? Are we submitting to God and softening our hearts to allow him to work in and through us? How much are we pushing back on what God is trying to do in our lives? God doesn't need our help. He wants our hearts. So during this last hymn, let's pray and ask God to take control of our lives Ask him to forgive us for every mistake that we have made trying to make it on our own, and for all the ways that we've pushed back. Let's ask God to make us into the perfect creation that he intended us to be, and to yield our desires and pride, to let his mercy and grace overflow in and through us.
Please take your hymnals and turn to number 43 and sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and spring, time and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. That endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you for singing. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together, to share in our reading of your word and our worship of you. God, thank you for this youth group and the wisdom that they have in their hearts for serving you and growing closer to you. God, I just pray this morning that you remind us to reflect on what it is that you're doing in our lives, where you're leading us to go, what you're forming us to do, and the works that you have prepared for us to come. God, I pray that you soften our hearts and our minds, that you allow us to guide us, that you allow us to let you to guide us, to lead us in everything that we do. God, I pray that every crack that we have, every broken piece that we've accumulated over our lives, that you allow us to give that to you, to mend it, to make us whole in you and you alone. God, give us safety and peace as we continue to seek to serve you and honor you and glorify you in everything that we do. God, just remind us that we are who you say we are. God, nothing more and nothing less. God, that we can't make it on our own. We are fully defined by you, and that you are everything that we seek. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we did end quite a bit early this morning. So Sunday school will start at 11 o'clock this morning. So James Romano will be coming up. Yeah, Mark? All right, so we're going to start at 10:45. Yep, so 10:45 to 11:30 is going to be Sunday school this morning. Feel free to chat, get some snacks, and then come back in here to join James Romano as he shares with us.